Welcome, my Chicana and Latina moms. This space has been created only for you, solo para nosotras, Chicanas and Latina moms. In these episodes that I share with you, I talk about self-care and self-love and how to empower your being. You are not alone, and this is a revolution. We will continue to fight for what is right for our being, starting with our own mental health, to be able to help and inspire those in need, starting with ourselves, our kids, our family, our community. I hope you enjoy all of these episodes that I record for you with all of my corazón, para todas mis hermanas, Chicanas and Latina moms. Hey, my Chicana and Latina sisters, please do not forget to leave a review and give me your feedback. I would really appreciate it. This also helps other new listeners know what we're about. Gracias. Hola, my Chicana and Latina moms. ¿Cómo están? Thank you so much for being here. My name is Amapola Ramirez. I'm the creator and host of Chicana and Latina Moms podcast. And you guys, this last week has been interesting. One of my best friends, her mom passed away, and I've never in my life experienced so many people passing away, and I think I'm not alone in this, and it's really sad. But I do want to share that my best friend's mom, as a woman, as a single mother, she definitely left an impact in this world. You know, I think we grow up seeing different women in our lives and we learn from them, if they're related or if they're not. At the end of the day, we all are here in this world to impact each other and create a profound, profound impact so that we can help each other. And even in times that are difficult, and if there's difficult people in our lives, there's still something we can learn from those situations, right? But in regards to my best friend's mom, I definitely can say, like, what a woman, strong woman, luchona, guerrera. And she did the best that she could, and it was like magnificent, honestly. And I'm not saying, obviously, no one's perfect. I understand that. But I really saw that example from her based on how she lived her life as a woman, as a mother, because I met her way before I had kids. My friend and I went to high school together. And, you know, our friends' parents are really nice. You know, well, I don't know if all of them. A lo mejor unos, pero no todos, you know. But she definitely was very respectful and kind. And her resilience was very visible. So, que descanse en paz, señora María. Now, I want to change this conversation, and I want to share with you this beautiful Chingona guest speaker, and you guys are going to learn so much from her as I did, you know, and she has a lot of wisdom, and she has a story, and her story is very appreciated, especially because she wrote a book called Lost Girl, From the Hood to the White House to Millionaire Entrepreneur. Her name is Rebecca Contreras. So here is a little bit about Rebecca Contreras and her story. Rebecca Contreras. She is the author of Lost Girl, From the Hood to the White House to Millionaire Entrepreneur, which recounts her journey from becoming a welfare-dependent teenage mother to advising a sitting president to driving a successful 100% company. Rebecca is a social and business entrepreneur who spent nearly 12 years with the George W. Bush legacy, first in Texas as his director of HR, then in DC in the White House as a commissioned officer supporting the presidential transition. She started her 15-year service in government in a welfare-to-work program for Texas icon Ann Richards and achieved tremendous heights in her success. Far more than a rags-to-riches story, Lost Girl presents Contreras' self-reflection of how she first survived in El Paso and endured the hardships of the life she was born into, and later overcame obstacles after obstacle through the self-determination, perseverance, faith, and a few helping hands. Born into poverty to a drug-addicted mother, Rebecca Contreras had been a lost girl for almost two decades when at age 19, she found herself to be a dropout, welfare-dependent teenage mother. As a high school dropout with substance abuse and emotional trauma tendencies, she was well on her way to perpetuating the generational cycle of destruction and becoming a statistic lost to the system and her upbringing. President Bush recently wrote Rebecca a personal note on his read of Lost Girl, and in the note he writes, "I just finished reading Lost Girl, and I was deeply moved by your story." He then goes on to share the impact the book made on him and congratulated Rebecca on the book. And here's Rebecca Contreras sharing a little bit of her heart and of her journey. From poverty to the White House to millionaire entrepreneur, here's how I made the American dream my reality. Hola, Chicana and Latina moms. Thank you so much for being here. I have a chingona guest today. Her name is Rebecca Contreras. Hola, Rebecca. Thank you so much for being here.
Hola, ¿cómo estás? Mucho gusto. I'm so glad to be with you and your listeners.
Yes, no, thank you. Oh my gosh, I know for sure there's so much knowledge that you have to share with us, and I know that it's going to be very valuable knowledge that we're going to take. So I guess if you can start, by telling us who you are, and for those of you obviously that don't know you, and where are your parents from?
Yeah, so I'm actually from El Paso, Texas. I'm a border town girl, and
yes.
My roots were there in terms of early growing up. I moved to Austin, Texas, where I live now, when I was about 9 years old, but was born in El Paso. I'm one of four kids, and I come out of a single-parent home, in my book, Lost Girl, I spend the first three chapters dedicated to talking about my very dysfunctional upbringing.
Yeah.
I actually was in El Paso doing my book launch in October, talking to Latinas about at a leadership conference, and I said, how many here come from jacked up homes? And, all of them raised their hands.
Yeah, we all do.
We all have some jacked up family members.
Yes.
But, yeah, so, unfortunately, my story is unlike probably many other stories of people in our community that, had struggles. And my mom was a single mom, and there were four of us actually in our family. And I have a twin brother, and he and I had the same dad. We never knew our dad. He was from Yugoslavia. And so I'm mixed race. My brother's dad was Mexican, and my sister's dad was African American. So we always used to joke with my mom, she just needs the Asian.
Oh.
But she was a mess. She grew up in severe drug addiction, really our whole lives. And I again dedicate the first two chapters to talk about that dysfunction. And none of us knew our fathers, and we grew up in abject poverty. When I say I grew up kind of below foundation in terms of lacking every single thing in not only physical poverty, but emotional poverty and abuse. And, mm-hmm. When you grow up in a family with a drug addicted parent, it's really, it really kind of festers into a bunch of other things that fall out of that, including things like mental illness and trauma and abuse. And so that kind of was my upbringing. And for the sake of time, I'll jump to kind of the major tragedy that happened when I was 5. My mother abandoned us and left us, you know, by ourselves. And we were supposed to go to foster care, but my grandmother raised us. And my abuelita was my hero, and she was an amazing, amazing woman. And, you know, rescued us and took us in so we could avoid the foster system. And we lived with her for years. And my mom finally came back after being gone on the streets and living in Juarez. And when she came back, she was ready to kick her drug addiction and be mom again. And, you know, nice. By that time, I was pretty, you know, I was probably 9 or 10 when she took us in and, you know, didn't have a relationship with her. So she moved us to Austin and to live with her father, my grandfather, who we didn't have a relationship with, but okay. She did. And, you know, so I grew up in East Austin as a teen and, got involved in a bunch of junk myself and just spiraled out of control, ended up being a teen mom. And, you know, the whole, what I call the unfortunate Latina statistic these days, yes. In terms of teen pregnancy is a real problem in our community. And it's an area I've been combating and trying to fight, you know, for a long time. But, you know, it ended up in a little church, and somebody got a hold of my life and said, hey, you know, have you ever thought of really doing something with yourself and stopping this spiral of, you know, out of control lifestyle and as a teen mom and, you know, drop out and the whole bit. And
yeah.
Went back to school, got my GED, and worked for a woman by the name of Ann Richards through a welfare to work program here in Austin. And Ann was running for governor at the time, and it was the first time I saw a woman in power. And I thought, wow. Can really do something with my life. Yeah. So my transformative journey is fully layered out in my book, but in a nutshell, you know, really got a hold of some good people and mentors and started a completely different path of changing my life for my daughter's sake.
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot that you know, it's empowering. And, you know, I know you said, you know, your book, right? Lost Girl. That's I like that. Because we, I think as Latinas and just females, right? We sometimes at some point felt lost, right? And
yeah.
The name of your book is called Lost Girl, From the Hood to the White House to Millionaire Entrepreneur. Wow.
Oh. Yeah, but you know, my lost girl story, again, it you know, the good thing is I didn't stay lost, right?
Yes, good thing.
Point, you know, I had to make a decision, and I tell Latinas, you know, we do a lot of work with inner city kids here in Austin. My husband and I also own, in addition to having a for-profit, we own a non-profit.
Nice.
And most of the kids we work with are Latino and Latina kids and from the inner city. And we tell them, look, you have a choice. You don't have a choice to grow up the way you grow up, but you have a choice to stay in school and make good choices. And when you turn 18, go to college, you know, do something with your life and change that for your entire familia, right? You could
yes.
be the difference maker for your familia. And the good news is there's lots of opportunities for us to do that through empowerment of education, through right choices, through, you know, right relationships, get around the right mentors and coaches and people that actually will help you, you know, be better. And so, you know, it's a big of a mouthful in terms of my story, but I'm all about transforming and owning your power as an individual to say, you know what, I may have this dysfunctional upbringing, but I'm going to help my family, and I'm going to do something different for my own life. And I was able to do that. My mom, she had kicked the drug addiction, and when I got pregnant, she took my daughter away from me because I got involved in drugs too. And but you know, she helped me get clean because she had gotten clean, and you know, really took me under her wing, and
yeah.
we became friends. And you know, it's important for us not to own our choices and our mistakes, but also own our future and change so that we can then provide a better future to our children and now generations to come. I'm a grandmother and I'm a wife of 32 years. And, you know, there have been things I've been able to do that my family's never been able to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And we know marriage itself, it requires work, right? Definitely. Just as being a parent, just as being a human being overall, right? So what would you say is your why in life?
Well, I have to tell you, for me, when I had that kind of, I call it, for me, it was a spiritual encounter that I had and had, you know, someone slap me upside the head to say, hey, you know, what are you doing with your life? You're repeating the same, you know, mistakes of your mother and your past. And, you know, you got a daughter now who doesn't know you. And she was 13 months old at the time my mom was raising her because I was jacked.
Yeah.
And I had dropped out and everything. And, you know, I had strong mentors come around me to really help me. And honestly, my mother, who was my my biggest thorn in my childhood with her addiction, when she kicked her addiction, she became my biggest champion. And she would always say, mija, por favor, you know, tienes una niña, you know, take care of yourself for her. And my daughter's birth and her life was really my why. But also, you know, I wanted it for myself. You know, I was tired of living in poverty and, you know, and listen, you know, I'm all for government assistance when you need it, but it's not meant to be a lifelong lifestyle.
Yes.
And I that's my message. You know, I wanted it all. I wanted a husband. I wanted a picket fence. I wanted a house. I wanted a career, but I didn't know how to get it, right? And so it was through the mentors and through my faith in God and really doing the hard work on myself and dealing with my past and my trauma and my abuse through counseling. I'm a big avid believer in counseling. Do you know that only 19% of our community counseling for trauma? And, you know, when you go through stuff, whether it's a spousal abuse or a sex abuse or drug addiction or even just trauma, you have to get help for that. And so I began to take those steps to get help for that. And my husband was a big part of my transformation early on. We got married at 21 and here we are 32 years later. We've been able to do a lot of life together.
Wow. That's so good. You're definitely an inspiration because, you know, I think a lot of us Chicanas and Latinas, right? We grew up not hearing even college. We don't even hear like a lot of like, you know, tú puedes salir adelante. It was more just kind of like the day by day or like a lot of the poverty vocab, right? That's out there. No hay dinero, no podemos, etc. And so we start to believe that there's only at limited things, right? But there's not. There's a lot of great things that we can build and heal, right? When I am hearing you speak, it's like healing is what helped you a lot, right? And
well, the healing process for yourself is so important. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is loving, you know, I had to learn to love myself. I didn't love myself very much. I didn't value myself. And therefore I got involved with, and in my book, I talk about the baby daddy, you know, who was a drug dealer and he almost killed me and just a bunch of junk I got involved in because I didn't love myself. I didn't put value on myself. Nobody put value on me as a child and as a teenager, so why am I going to value myself?
Exactly.
But when I was 19 and I had a daughter and I saw her life, I'm like, I've got to put value on myself. So, you know, we've got to love ourselves to the point where, you know, we help ourselves get out of the situation we're in. And we are Hispanics and Latinas are the fastest growing demographic. Mm-hmm. We're actually the fastest growing entrepreneurs in America. Mm-hmm. And here in Texas, we're up there in one with the first or second, you know, largest demographic. And, you know, we have a lot to contribute and we're making a lot of progress, but we can't settle for where we are. We got to keep going. We got to help each other. And when I started my business, I started 10 years ago. So I reinvented myself from being a government employee. My last boss was President George Bush. And I talk about my time with him in the White House, and how he was a big part of my career success.
Yeah.
But you know, when I decided to start my business, I had never started business before. No, there were no entrepreneurs in my family, right? But I took the bull by the horns and sought some mentors out and said, hey, you know, I want to start a business and figure out how to take my expertise in government that I've built in my career with President Bush and Governor Bush and figure out a way to sell my services. And I've built a 100 person plus practice spread across 7 states. You know, we're doing great things. Good. And, you know, but I took the steps to learn how to start a business, even though I didn't have a business background and didn't have a formal education. I took the steps and joined, you know, the local Chamber of Commerce, Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and started networking with other entrepreneurs. You've got to get around people that you want to be like in order to have that vision, right? Because if you stay stuck with the people in your community that aren't going anywhere, and you know, your people, listen, my relationships early in life were to my detriment, and now my relationships later in my life have been to my success.
Yeah.
Relationships and the network and the people you surround yourself with will determine what you accomplish in life and how far you can go.
Yes, you're definitely right. Definitely right. I can relate to that, right? Me growing up, never hearing college or like have your own business. But then I started surrounding myself and with other like therapists, mental health agencies, like protesting and activists. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like, oh, I want this. So they taught me things that I didn't know. So I had to literally put myself out there. Aunque tenía un poco de miedo, like I was nerviosa. Either way, like I was like, okay, I'm fine, but I'm heading somewhere. You know, that gut instinct, right?
Right. And you have to have it. And you have to, I call it, you know, embracing the grit, that mm-hmm. spirit of grit that says, I'm not going to give up. I don't care how many walls I hit. You know, my strategy is always, if I encounter a wall or obstacle in a situation, I'm either going to tear that wall down or figure out a way to go around it. But it's not going to stop me from moving forward and getting around people that are smarter than me. Because I don't have a formal education, I lacked it. I've surrounded myself, and even now my employees, I've got some of the smartest employees, I think, in the U.S. They're amazing, and they make me look good. They make me a successful CEO because we've got smart consultants who have a lot more knowledge than I have. I'm just the visionary and the communicator behind the vision and executing it. But then, you know, the people around you really are important. And, you know, the other thing about our community and our Latinas, Chicanas is, you know, sometimes we kind of fight with each other, or we kind of want to one-up on each other, you know, and we got to work together. This is something that the African-American community does very well. And the Latino community, you know, us Chicanas, Latinas, we got to stick together. We got to help each other and stop fighting or one-upping each other.
Yes.
And what does that look like? That starts in your own home, in your own community, with your own career, in your own workplace, right? Mm-hmm. Figuring out how to help each other. This has been my entire life strategy, is people have helped me to get to where I am today as an entrepreneur millionaire. And now I'm helping other Latinas and other, you know, women say, hey, how can I help you, you know, be better and accomplish your goals? And so we got to help each other.
Yes, you're so right. That happens a lot. I did come across someone sharing, you know, they come across other Latinas. They're like, well, I was the first Latina, you know, in this like TV show. And it's like, okay, cool, at first, but isn't that a problem that we're just like,
yeah, right.
You know, it's just like,
I'm looking forward to the day where we don't say, you know, I was one of the highest ranking Latinas in the White House.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking forward to the day where we don't have to say that.
Exactly.
We're represented everywhere. And there's so many, we're the fastest growing, over 60 million Latinos in America. We're the fastest growing demographic, but mm-hmm. we don't have influence. And I call it a seat at the table. Mm. And the reason we don't have the seat, it's not because nobody wants to give us the seat. It's because we won't take our seat.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You know, we gotta own it and take our seat. And, you know, I've been able to accomplish a tremendous amount by taking that position and putting myself to take that seat and to work hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, to do my work, hard work around my own issues to get healed and to get whole so that I have something to contribute. But but I'm excited about, you know, sharing my story. I think my story is possibility, it's hope. Si se puede, in a powerful way. And, you know, it's a message that I'm dedicated now to the Latino community and Latinas in particular and women.
Yeah, because, you know, the imposter syndrome kicks in, right? Like, I'm not good enough, or maybe given up inside of me, you know, and no, there's a lot of more white people here, and yo, como que this space is not for me, but it's like, no, we belong.
That's right. And we should not be intimidated by that. I struggled a lot with that imposter syndrome early in my career, you know, when I was, again, the first Latina here and there, but also because of my lack of formal training and education. And, you know, I had to shake that off and say, you know, gosh, I do belong. I tell a story in chapter 4 of my book when I, my first experience in the Oval Office with President Bush, when I literally walked into the Oval Office and how I felt, you know, overwhelmed. And, you know, the voices in my head saying, hey, you know, your East Side slang's going to pop out any minute now. And, you know, you don't belong here. And all these people are so much more educated than you. What the hell are you doing here? Yeah. You know, it's that self-talk of, you know, negativity that you hear in your head and your heart. And you got to stop that and say, no, I do belong here.
Yeah.
I've worked hard. And you know what? I'm just as good.
Exactly.
And then work to be better, right? Work to be better and smarter and work harder. And, you know, you got to kick that. And even if I do a lot of self, for me, it's about prayer, meditation, and self-encouragement to myself.
Mm.
You know, get myself in a room if I'm feeling discouraged and tell myself, hey, you've got this. Like, you're trusted. You can do this work. And just talk it up. And, you know, if you're discouraged or you hit a pit or you hit a wall, then you pick up the phone and you call someone who, you know, can either encourage you and pump you up, right? And we've got to do it for each other.
Yes, you're so right. Sometimes I hear people say, but I have friends. I know they love me, but they're busy with their lives. I said, look, if they're busy with their lives and they love you, they're willing to make that time to hear you out and help you, right? Especially if you're stuck. And we do need each other. There's no one human being on this planet, right, that just succeeds just by themselves. Like, no, we all need each other in different ways. Right.
And we have to learn to fail and be okay with that.
Exactly.
You know, I call it a failing forward mentality. You know, I'm going to fail, but it's okay. I'm going to get myself up, dust myself off. I just had an experience I'll share with your listeners. A couple of weeks ago, I lost a $36 million contract.
Oh, wow.
That was supposed to be mine, and we had worked hard for it, and it just gone. Somebody outbid me. And, you know, I was like, I had been sucker punched. And here I am, trying, you know, growing my business. It's doing well. And all of a sudden, you know, you lose that much money. So what did I do? I had to center myself. And my husband and I got together and, you know, prayed. And we were, okay, this is, you know, we're going to recalibrate, refocus. And here I am 2 weeks later. And now I'm, you know, I'm refocused. And you win some, you lose some. You cannot take loss or failure and then get discouraged and scale back. You got to just move forward in that loss and learn from the loss, right? Because loss can be good. In my mind, you win some, you lose some, and you can't let life or fear or loss or failure keep you back. You got to keep going forward.
Yes. Accepting the reality, right? Like, there's only so much we can do with, I mean, we can't control everything, but it, like you said, they're learned it's lessons learned, right?
It's learned behavior. It's learned behavior. I think behavior can be learned in any sense.
Yes.
And you know, leveraging that learned behavior to embrace the next step of whatever it is you have to do. For some of your listeners, it's, you know, going back to school. For others, it's, you know, hey, you know, making a good choice, get rid of that baby daddy that's not going to, you know, help you, that's dragging you down, right? Your man in your life should be your big encourager. My husband, mira, es mexicano, puro mexicano. And he is my biggest champion. He's my biggest cheerleader 32 years later. He lets me run ahead of him. And, you know, you got to get a man around you that will actually celebrate you when you pass him up.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to be, oh, what are you doing? You know, and, you know, you think you're better than me, whatever.
That happens a lot,
It does. Well, and especially, you know, in our culture, I mean, I grew up in a very male-dominated, you know, again, they didn't celebrate women back in my day. My grandfather was very chauvinistic, de la montaña is what he was.
Oh.
And, you know, I had to overcome that. But.
Yeah. No, you're right. There's a lot of, you know, the machismo and then the marianismo, you know, but there's a lot of things definitely that we can do on our end to be able to shift. And yes, a great partner definitely to help us become a better version of ourselves, and then being able to do the same back in return to them, right? It's just beautiful itself. That's what
and we have our girls. We have our girls who are watching us. You know,
exactly.
As moms, I have a daughter, a 34-year-old daughter, and now two grandchildren. And my whole life, she's watched every move I've made. It's like, and so when we don't love ourselves and embrace the right partner, or make, you know, poor decisions, or fail and give up, or go into depression, or whatever it is we're dealing with, they're watching us. They're watching how are we going to navigate life, and they're going to do the same thing. Just like my mother was a drug addict, I was a drug addict. You know, you know, we can stop that cycle as Latinas, as Chicanas, and say, okay, no, I'm not going to behave that way. I'm going to change it for my daughter's sake. That was my why, for my daughter's sake.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Like, you're right. We tend to gravitate to this or hold on to the generational traumas and be like, well, that happened to me. Pues ya ni modo. It's like, no, not ni modo. You're an adult. I honestly have always said, I mean, I love my childhood, but there's things that I just didn't like. So now I'm like, I love my adulthood because I get to be in charge, you know, as much as I can. And I freaking love it.
and you get to change it for your whole family.
Exactly.
We have a 28-year-old son. He's a music producer in LA, and our 34-year-old daughter here. She works for my company, and her husband does too. And then, you know, we've got a niece that we adopted who was having horrible times in school and same kind of repeat patterns, and we took her in, and her son. And, you know, we now have these kids that are adult kids that are just, you know, they're successful in life, and they know how to navigate life because we've been able to demonstrate that to them, and they've had a healthy upbringing.
Yeah.
So when I say to your listeners, you can change the trajectory of your family in your choices and in your movement forward. You really can, and it's generational. It lasts forever after you make those changes, those positive changes.
Yeah, it's very impactful, definitely. So overall, I mean, what are you grateful for as a woman, as Latina, as a mother?
I first of all, I'm grateful for second chances.
Oh, yeah.
I have a great faith in God, and I call him a God of second chances. And second chances in life, I'm grateful for in the middle of this pandemic and all the loss that so many people have lost so much, and millions have been affected. You know, I'm grateful for health, and I'm grateful, just to breathe, to be alive. And yeah. I think every day that we wake up, no matter what situation or trauma or mess we're in, I hope that my book encourages your listeners to know that there's another day tomorrow, right? Yes. I'm grateful for breath. I'm grateful for family. I'm grateful that we have an opportunity to live in a country that's free, you know, in the middle of this, you know, craziness with what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful to be in a free country. And so, you know, we can't focus on what's wrong in the country all the time, because that boggles down. We got to do our part to impact our community and our surrounding by taking that step forward and impacting in our circle of influence. Mm-hmm. Focus on the things that are working and the things that are positive. And don't focus on all the crap going on, because that can really do a number on your psyche. It can do a number on your emotional state. And, you know, you can't control what you can't control. You have that influence and that 4 feet of space around you that I say we're born with. And, you know, that 4 feet of space of influence can impact, you know, a lot of people in your own community. So just focus on you and focus on where you step, and not on all the noise that's happening.
Yes, exactly. Totally agree with you. It's so easy to get consumed by the external chaos, but making sure that internally we do our best to center ourselves, right? To create that change. Yeah. That's really, yeah. So, okay. I mean, you've shared so much already. So what are the three advice could you give the Chicana Latina moms? Like what three, like top three advice?
I would say my top three are never give up on your dreams. The number two is have a dream and put it in a plan, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I'm a big journaler, I like to journal every morning through my meditation and prayer. I'll sit down and journal, you know, things that I want to do and accomplish. You know, if you don't write the plan down and you don't start taking action on the plan, it's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So take that step. And then lastly, it's important for you to look at who's around you and where you're spending your time. And I call it the 80% rule. If 80% of your time is not adding value to your bottom line, then get rid of the 80% of what's not adding value to your bottom line.
Yeah.
And bottom line doesn't mean money too. I mean, for me, it's about the bottom line. Sometimes the bottom line can be relationships. It can be, you know, community. Your bottom line can be impact, right? So I call it the 80% rule. And I look at where I'm spending my time. And if 80% of my time is being spent and I'm being drained with toxic, negative people and listen, our familia sometimes, right?
Yes, but, sometimes.
You know, I have a rule, you know, some familia you gotta love from a distance because they're so toxic and negative. And you know what? Until you get strong enough to have them not drag you down, step away and take a breather, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that 80% rule is super important in every area of your life, your marriage, your community, your career. You want to evaluate your time, because my time is gold right now. I'm an entrepreneur. I run a 100-person plus practice. I have this book launch and book tour that I'm doing. And you know, I'm a grandmother, I'm a wife for 32 years, and I manage the bills, and I mean, I'm doing a lot. And so 80% of my time is value add. And I look every year, I'm on a reset challenge right now. Your listeners can go to my website and watch my videos. Mm-hmm. We're doing a reset you for 2022. Mm. And I talk about that 15 minutes of reset every Monday. You know, think about what you need to reset in your life and then shake it up and reset, because you own your future. Nobody else owns your future. You're not a victim of anybody.
Yeah.
You can choose to be a victim or you can choose to be a victor.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. I'm gonna do that. 15 minutes.
The reset videos are all on my website at RebeccaCotreras.com, and they're 15 minutes, so they're easy to watch. But it's important for us to reset. We just started a new year, so whatever happened in 2021, forget about it. Yeah. You have a new year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Start afresh and reset and, you know, refocus and recalibrate on what you want to spend your time on and what your goals are.
Yeah, definitely. As you're saying that, it takes me how, like, it's like the self-care, right? Like right. self-care mm-hmm. for your being.
Yeah, nice. Absolutely. Self-care is so important.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Rebecca. We appreciate you. Thank you. You're representing us, Chicanas and Latinos out there. And, you know,
I'm excited to share my story with your listeners. And the best way to get Lost Girl is on my website at RebeccaContreras.com. And then connect with me. You can find me on Instagram at Rebecca Ann Contreras, and on Facebook also at Rebecca Ann Contreras. I want to hear from you. You know, if it resonates with you, if you're facing a life, you know, altering life, changing moment, I'd love to hear from you. But yeah. Hopefully Lost Girl will give you that extra little oomph. Yeah. I call it, I put myself out there, Rebecca in the Raw. It's one of those books you have to kind of read with a glass of wine.
Yeah.
I did a podcast with a group called Level of Latina yesterday, and they're like, well, I think I'll have a glass of tequila with it. Whatever it takes to, you know, to get you in that mode of, you know, reading this crazy story. Yeah. But it's a good story. It has a good ending. And there's a lot of richness and nuggets in there. So I hope your readers do get it. They can also get it on Amazon online.
Awesome.
But I enjoyed doing the show with you, and Godspeed to all you're doing. And thank you for representing.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. Yes, definitely. I'm going to put all of your information on the notes section, and, you know, all of this space, episodes, future episodes, and people that have been in here. I'm very grateful for you and everyone else, because I started this not knowing how to do a podcast, and I was like, no sé cómo hacerlo, pero pues, you know, my parents said, if you can't get anywhere, you figure it out, you know, and I kind of took that and ran with it. Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. Well, I love what you're doing, and hopefully your message will resonate with your listeners, and thank you for all you're doing for the Chicana community.
My pleasure. But thank you, Rebecca, for everything. We wish you the best, even though I always say estamos todas like scattered Latinas, pero we need to work like separadas, pero estamos como unidas, you know, and we're here for you and rooting for you also. So thank you again. Yeah, you're very welcome. So thank you, Chicana and Latina moms. I'm going to have all the information of Rebecca Contreras on the note. And you can get her book, Lost Girl from the Hood to the White House to Millionaire Entrepreneur. Cuídense mucho. Dios las bendiga. Adiós. So much for listening. You can follow me on Instagram at Chicana Moms Podcast, Chicana Health Coach, and La Chicana Therapist. Please leave your feedback. I would love to hear from you. Rate us on iTunes, an Anchor, or SoundCloud, or anywhere where you can listen to podcasts. Adios.